it's lovely to be here, and we're part of the Scott Pen, these beautiful people over here. I'm just going to introduce a little bit, a few words about the Scott Pen before I start my own reading. The Scott Pen has been organising readings in Belfast since 2013. It brings together established poets as well as up-and-coming poets, and we would be very interested, obviously, in people from Cork as well coming up, anyone who would be interested, certainly get in touch with us. We also bring together music, poetry and prose, and if we can, we try to make our events free at the source. Now tonight we're part in the guise of the Scott Pen on tour. Now that means that the organiser of the Scott Pen and myself, Paul Jeffcott, get the opportunity of reading. Normally we don't read at our own venues, but we get this opportunity to read when we're away from home. Our third link in the Scott Pen on tour is John McAllister, that very famous crime writer from County Armagh, who paid me to say that tonight. And we're very pleased also to have with us, Martha McGonigal, who will be doing some singing for us tonight. She told me earlier that she was very grateful to give up her pole dancing class tonight, so she could come along and be with you. Now I'm going to put on my reading cap here. I know that you'd be interested in Easter 1916, this big year, but I don't have any poems on that topic, but I thought I'd bring some poems which are very much along the same sort of lines. A couple of years ago I started a sequence of poems about the plantation of Ulster, and it started with the Battle of Conseil. So I'm going to read a sequence. It's in the voices of some of the protagonists of that battle, the Spanish, the Irish and the English as well. There's a British historian, or a Belfast historian, who says about Conseil, he says, "Conseil was Gaelic Ireland's Culloden. The way was clear for the most ambitious programme of confiscation and colonisation ever planned in Western Europe, the plantation of Ulster." The first three are in the voice of the servant to O'Neill. I'm from Tyrone myself, and O'Neill, as you know, his castle was situated in Dungannon. Servant to O'Neill, 1. "Now word has come of Spanish ships at Conseil. The English heretics make their way to Munster, and I am pleased my master has respite to bring together a northern force of such strength." Maguire's, McGuinness's, McDonald's, McMahon's, McShane's, O'Cahan's, O'Devlin's, O'Hagan's, O'Hanlon's, O'Reilly's, to make an English soldier wish he'd never tried to despoil and take our lands. This is Servant to O'Neill, the second poem. The women make a squall. Some, including master's wife, oppose going. I am assigned to mollify them with bribes and nectar words. Of course, some men are just as adamant they'll stay behind. We promise Spanish pay and paint the canvas on which our forces are joined by thousands, from old Irish to steadfast men of Munster. In truth though, we walk or ride over 300 miles in the grip of November ice. On crossing the swollen River Inny, we can only curse as carriages succumb and drown. At least at Curran Wood, the English a mile away, we feast aware on good account, the enemy lie starving in their trenches. And the third poem by a servant to O'Neill. No more than 60, this is after the battle, no more than 60 here at Inishannon, the rest of Master's men cut down or left to bleed on this boggy ground. We contemplate a blazing fire, each man no doubt recalling his own flickering ghost from that rout. Master thrusts a stick into the fire, which spits and crackles, sending yellow sparks into the clear night air. He begins to apportion blame. Don John Del Aguila is bitter on his lips. Another lord pipes in, that spineless Spaniard stayed put in his fortress while our men were massacred. And the last one in the sequence is by an English commander who instigated a famine in the north to wipe out all the Irish people. This is his comments. We ride further down country lanes into Irish territory. Briars jut out from hedges, scratching our legs and irritating the flanks of our horses. We come across a mound of rotting corpses lying in a ditch, a reek of death. Green around the lips, a sign they have eaten ducks and nettles. The famine is biting. But the rebel soldiers are to blame for stealing grain from their own people. Each day I hear from honest gentlemen the tales of how some natives are driven to extremes. One tells of children seated by a fire, roasting and feeding on their mother's flesh. We press on, need to clear the weeds for fresh planting. No, it's a bit, thank you. Thank you. I was, as you do, you listen to other people's conversations, and I was listening one night to a couple of women, I think it was young women, who were talking about a chiclet. I don't know what age I am, I don't know much about chiclet, but I thought this would be fun to have a look at the different types of lit that you have. So it's just simply, this is called genre. Afro-Carib lit, bitch lit, Brit lit, sit lit, chic lit, chick lit, cleek lit, clit lit, crit lit, demi lit, fit and sick lit, fight lit, flick lit, fright lit, glitch lit, god lit, grit lit, hip lit, hip hop lit, hop hit lit, hot lit, hype lit, inlet, kid off lit, kitch lit, quick fit lit, lit lit, misfit lit, non lit, nail bite lit, prig lit, prim lit, prize lit, quick lit, red lip lit, rich lit, retro lit, sci-fi lit, spit lit, tit and bum lit, trite lit, twit lit, wit bread lit, witlet, onlet, universit lit, UKIP lit, X lit, Z lit.